You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
This episode of The Ramble is supported by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers free domain names, customizable designs, drag-and-drop tools, as well as 24/7 support. Seamless e-commerce solutions mean that your business can be taking money in minutes on a website that is scaled to look beautiful on any device. Start your free trial today, no credit card required. As a Football Ramble podcast listener, you'll receive 10% off your first purchase by using the offer code RAMBLE11.
You can't mistake my biology. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Oh, my name's Marcus and I've got Pete with me.
I don't even know where that's from. Hello.
Oh, you know. Luke.
I liked it.
Yeah.
All right.
And Jim.
Hello.
Oh, we're here. Of course we are. And so are you. Thanks for that. Right, hang on a minute. Championship side Yeovil Town have been auditioning local females for the first for the club's first ever girl band. Such a strange way they've put this out. Auditioning local females is really... weirdly scientific
to start with,
and also their first ever girl band. It's like as if there are plans for more when these ones burn out, and as if football clubs do this all the time. Where has this come from?
I like the idea of the meeting that spawned this idea. Right, we're second from bottom of the championship, we're really struggling. You got any ideas? Yeah, I have one, but you probably won't like it. Tell me anyway. Does it involve a girl band? I was thinking the same thing.
No idea is a bad idea at Yeovil Town.
The things that seem to be going wrong for Yeovil Town are all based around football. So what if we move it completely away from the sport?
No idea is a bad idea, apart from the ideas all the players are having on the pitch during the game. They are all bad ideas.
Well, the idea is for five lucky ladies to record a Charities England perform at future matches.
Yeah. If the answer is spice up your life to any question, it's wrong.
Yeah. Well, Pete, if you could create a boy band made up of chaps from the footballing arena, who would you choose and what would the band be called?
Well, you know, with any kind of musical adventure, it's all about egos. You've got to have the right kind of people in there. So, you know, the pieces of the jigsaw have to fit together and just be harmonious. You know, because at the end of the day, you've got to spend a lot of time on tour buses,
you
know, going all around the world and entertaining everyone. So, Bentner, Zlatan, Keane, Diego, and the Eyes of the World.
I like it.
Together.
Very good. Who'd be the lead? Would there be a lead singer?
There'd be four lead singers. There'd be four lead singers and the collective Eyes of the World.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. We're guessing on.
Yeah, very strong style. Mm.
Yeah.
Luke,
well,
you got?
Yeah, I thought about this for quite a long time. probably more than the rest of the show, actually. My contribution may sort of decline from now on, so apologies in advance. But
yeah, well, at least we've got a few minutes out of you.
Yeah, well, as the girls say.
Yeah.
I went for Kevin Walker as main singer-songwriter, the guy who won the Swedish Pop Idol.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, okay,
He's your Gary Barlow type figure.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So it's a no-brainer, really.
A sensible decision.
I've got Joey Barton as a sort of bad boy Robbie Williams of the band. Causing trouble, falling out of nightclubs. I know he doesn't drink that much anymore, apparently, but, you know, it's for the purposes of a stereotype, so it's tough.
Yeah. Get on it, Joey.
I've got Cristiano Ronaldo in there as a sort of clean-cut one.
Yes. Yeah.
Standard, you know. Sort of guy who would sort of leap up off his stool when it's his verse.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with his shirt unbuttoned all the way down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Rory Delap. Bit of left field. My thinking behind this is twofold. One, you always have a sort of ugly-ish one.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rory, but that's the situation. Secondly, I'm struggling a bit by this point, and his throwing skills, he could throw like merchandise into the crowd really far.
Like a t-shirt cannon.
He's like a human t-shirt cannon, so it wouldn't just be the front rows that get the t-shirts and stuff. The fifth member is Zlatan.
Rory Delap.
Rory Delap and Zlatan.
Yeah, but Zlatan would only be there in about 5 minutes, for about 5 minutes, then he sort of branch out and do his own solo career.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. I haven't got a name because I run out of time.
Yeah,
no,
sure.
Zlatan would go solo during their gigs. Yeah. They just throw the rest of them out.
He did a bit that Axl Rose does when you go and see Guns N' Roses, where for a bit all the other crowd are just all the other band members are just off stage. He's there on his own.
Yeah.
Forget he would be the support band on his own.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I would actually reform what was very nearly a footballing boy band. You'll know who I mean when I said that the name would be the Spice Boys.
Redknapp. I thought you were going to go for Huddle and Waddle, but fair enough.
No. Redknapp, Fowler, James, McManaman, McAteer. And they'd sort of...
Ruddock?
Jones.
But there are loads of them, aren't there? They'd be the main five. But each time one of them was too battered.
Like a blazing squad.
You pull one up from the bench.
They'd rotate them around like the Pussycat Dolls.
Absolutely.
I like that.
So instead of having stalls to sit on when they're singing their terrible ballads, they'd have dentist chairs.
White suits?
Yeah, absolutely. They'd come in the cream white suits.
Dentist chairs.
Hang on a minute. No, I can't think of anything more 90s than that. Excellent. Well done.
In the Met Bar.
Chris Evans their manager.
Yeah, Danny Baker.
Chris Evans is just their mate.
Yeah.
Covering Fun Loving Criminal songs.
Excellent.
While watching wrestling.
I've gone for the French 98 back four. So who was that? Lizarazu, Blanc, Thuram, and...
Are you Frank Leboeuf?
Frank Leboeuf. Well, Leboeuf came Frank in. Leboeuf. Who am I thinking of?
Well, you probably should have thought this through.
You are
not having the points this week.
Absolutely not.
Desailly.
Thuram would be the lead singer of the four, and they'd be called Thuram.
Oh, he pulled that one back.
Short of four, but I'll let you have it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, fair
VH1 could do the documentary Behind Leboeuf.
Behind the beef.
Leboeuf wouldn't be in it.
You just said
I'm saying the four. You know, Leboeuf didn't start.
Where's Slaven Bilic?
Yeah.
Why is nobody mentioned Slaven Bilic?
Slaven Bilic is trying to break up that band.
The first album we called Lizarazu, What I Call Music.
What?
If this is the first time you listen to the Football Ramble and you're expecting any sort of serious conversation about football, then you can just blame Yeovil Town. They're the ones who've made this
happen. They started this. Yeah.
Super 2 Ramp.
Yeah. Good one, yeah.
It works so many different ways, and it's one with the points.
Come on. Shocking.
Tart. Did you give away points in the Capital One show?
I gave them to me.
All right. I'll have a recount. Jim's with the Spice.
Two in a row.
On fire.
No, come on, Pete. That was fair, wasn't it? You got Nicholas Bender in yours.
Okay, that's fair. I've got my own problems.
Jim's got the point. Premier League, Jim. Not so many points for your boys. We've spoken a number of times. Have the pundits across the BBC and beyond about Arsenal. Have they had a stern test and all that kind of stuff? They went away to City and they got beat 6-3.
Crazy game.
They scored three goals there.
It was a crazy game. Was it a 6-3 match?
It didn't seem like it. I mean, Arsenal had two goals disallowed. Had a sort of penalty shout. Could have gone either way.
I was gutted
really
for Bentner. He came on the score and said, "Oh, don't disallow." Yeah. He really needs, and it wasn't offside.
But
very marginal.
You know,
wasn't
we
it?
Conceded yeah. six. So, and a lot of them were ridiculous goals as well. Fernandinho's first goal. Flamini really should have been doing better than that. Jack Wilshere shouldn't have just been, you know, blown off the ball like that for the fifth one.
They seem
which was a brilliant goal, actually. Fernandinho had an absolute blinder. He looked magnificent.
But Arsenal
he's been
did.
Excellent all season, I think.
Yeah.
He's been really good. He's very powerful.
He can't really get in the Brazil side.
Well, no, I mean, they've got a good team, haven't they? He'd walk into the England team, right?
He would.
He'd run in. That's probably a bit unfair. Yeah, he would. He'd run in, knocking everyone else out the way on the way.
Jack Wilshere, again.
But there's been a sort of pervading opinion that because he's got a couple of goals, he got two, didn't he, against Arsenal?
Yeah.
Because he got a couple of goals, he's suddenly sort of come of age in the Premier League. But I think he's been very good all season.
He has been.
Yeah.
That's why he started
so many games.
Much every game. That's why Gareth Barry went on loan. For crying out
loud. Well, exactly, yeah.
I just feel sorry for both teams after the Champions League draw. I'm like, yeah, fine.
Well, yeah. Well,
that should have been a 0-0 for me.
But we'll come to that a bit later. But
I thought Arsenal looked quite tired, though. I mean, there was talk that they got back late from the
night. Had a lot of games.
They looked...
It's stupid timing as well. That game should really have been on Sunday rather than Saturday morning, but it's something to do with TV fixtures.
Indeed. It's difficult, isn't it? This sort of curse, scourge of modern football, really. I mean,
City had a game as well.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it was a strange one, the way Arsenal played, because, as you say, they did make it a little bit easy for City. I mean, City were great, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But, you know, if I was an Arsenal fan, I know you've...
you know, six goals. I wouldn't be too downbeat about that.
No,
because
it's,
it did seem
it's one of those crazy games. When the score started getting weird, it was like, OK, this might be one of those kind of freakish anomalies. And, you know, the Premier League's a different beast now than it has been sort of ever, really, and there
all
are so many good teams
nil,
that take
nil,
points off each other. Yeah. Yeah, remember a few seasons ago, there were loads of games like this where everyone was just battering each other.
Yeah. Mm.
And, you know, I don't think it necessarily means that Arsenal are done for, but
no,
what is really, really important... is that Arsenal win these return fixtures.
Yeah.
And they beat Man United at home, they beat City at home.
What do you think, what do you think to the fact that... I was thinking about this on the way in. I was thinking that because there's quite a few teams in contention this season, four or five, if they all take points off each other, Arsenal are arguably... Well, they're certainly one of the best teams at just putting the sort of less good teams, if you like, to bed.
Well, yeah,
if they can consistently do that,
yeah,
they may not even need to win.
It's only 3 points. Bread and butter.
Yeah, it's only 3 points that they've dropped, and they weren't embarrassed by it. They still played fairly well in pockets.
Mm. Going back to the Fernandinho thing, just as further evidence as to why I think it's a good season. Off the top of my head, if you think of the big results City have had this season, so the 7-0 against Norwich, the 6-0 against Spurs, the 6-3 against Arsenal... the 3-0 against Swansea. He's been excellent in all those games.
Yeah. Mm.
And you could make an argument that he is the real sort of beating heart of that team and not Yaya Toure, because Yaya Toure goes missing for
me. He does.
Mm. He's gone missing high-profile games before. Fernandinho, to me, seems... You're pretty consistent.
Well, having them both in there is why
it's a frightening prospect.
Battering teams on their
absolutely.
Day.
Yeah, I mean, very strong and quite creative as well, you can't forget.
Oh, by the way, it was a great welcome return to form for City fans for David Silva as well, who was out
He was great.
Although, yeah, I think Aguero's injured, isn't he? He's out for a month, is that right?
Is that confirmed, is it? Yeah.
I think so.
Well, him and Aguero have been excellent together.
Yeah, they really
responsible
have.
For so many goals.
Yeah, people have spoken about Suarez and Sturridge, but those two have just been... Oh God!
I think
it's beautiful.
I think that's
romance, isn't it?
I think that's why they've made it such a fortress at home.
Mm.
Any team turning up, Pellegrini's like, "We're winning this, and we're winning this well."
Mm.
And he's really instilled that in the players.
I've got
clearly.
To get 5 trophies this year. I've just read the small print.
Even if I've got to engrave them myself down the old Spots supply shop.
I thought that was too much money to be true. Ah, it's annoying.
Yeah, I know. But Wenger said Man City caused us no more problems than Everton or Southampton. That's not true, is it?
No, it isn't.
They caused them more
scored
goals.
Six.
Problems aren't the worry. It's the goals you want to worry about.
Yeah. I mean, I think the point he's making is
similar to the point we ourselves
at the end of the season. There's not a it's not points for wins, draws, losses, goals for, goals against, problems for, problems against.
I think you'll find on the problemometer we've been quite lowly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I said if I was an Arsenal fan, I wouldn't be too worried. If I was a City fan, I would be bloody loving it.
Yeah.
Giddy.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I would say, I mean, if you get, just to play a bit of devil's advocate re-Arsenal, I mean, if I were an Arsenal fan, I mean, they're at home to Chelsea next time around, aren't they?
Yeah, so that big break between those games.
Of course. So. But, I mean, it's not. I'm not saying they will lose it, but they could lose it.
Well, the thing is, as we discussed last week, Arsenal have never beaten a Mourinho side. Mm-hmm. And Chelsea have already beaten Arsenal at the Emirates this season in the Capital One Cup. So it's tough. It's really, really tough. Like, there has to be some serious work and research done on the training ground, really, to sort of just to make sure they beat Chelsea. If they beat Chelsea, all of this becomes irrelevant.
But the point I was going to make, though, Jim, was that just to finish off, I was going to say, if Arsenal did lose that game against Chelsea...
Mm.
If I were an Arsenal fan, I'd be slightly frightened as to how quickly a 5-point lead can go.
Absolutely, and also how quickly the atmosphere can turn. Because that's something that Arsenal really had on their side this season.
Chelsea will go above them if they beat them.
Yeah.
People haven't seen the table, yeah.
Playing catch-up is hard, especially in a league like this. The Bayern Munich game, or the two legs of the Bayern Munich fixtures, have just created this other really, like, two very difficult runs of games again. And we spoke last week again how Arsenal had one a little while ago. They're sort of in the middle of another one now, and there's two more of them. It's like, I know that's what the Premier League is, and that's what sort of competing on a lot of fronts is, but the metal of this side is going to be tested over and over again.
Absolutely, and it's a great example of how good the league is. After the next round of fixtures, Arsenal could be fourth.
Mm.
Yeah.
And we're talking about them being 5 points clear last week.
Yeah, and having been in front for so long, to then drop down and then have to get it back is very difficult. Yeah.
It's all about momentum, isn't it?
Yeah, and the psychology of that and all that.
But also, you're never going to win the league by going top early and staying there the whole time. That's just not how it works. So,
tell that to Neil Lennon, mate.
You know,
shout out to Pompey's Championship winning season. Yeah. 2003.
Yeah, so that's that point out the window.
I'm pretty sure that one's been sort of written out of history.
By you, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm still fighting the good fight.
But okay, all right.
After a home defeat to Newport County at the weekend, I'm still fighting the good fight.
Which has been added to the running order, don't worry.
Excellent.
Well, there are examples of it, of course, but it's unusual, isn't it? A team would just sort of run away with it like that.
No, I know
so
what
at some
mean.
Point, Arsenal are going to have to sort the only of way dig happen, in there to stay at the top.
The only way that will happen this season is if City go mad. And just hit that stride that we know they're capable of.
Yeah.
Arrest their sort of away form wobbles and just fly, and they'll take it easily.
Mm.
But I'm not necessarily sure that's going to happen.
Yes. Another team hot on Arsenal's heels, Chelsea. They had a win at home against Crystal Palace, 2-1.
Bit hairy.
Crystal Palace really went for it.
Pulis has got them really together.
Yeah.
And Shamak's using his feet properly again.
Shamak with really another nice goal. It was funny, we spoke about the difference in Shamak's fortunes to those of Chelsea. Now Torres did score, but Mourinho made the point. He said, we don't have the striker who is going to score 30 goals in the league. And he said, with regards to the low scorers that they have playing up front, do I expect a little more? Yes. Do we want them to do a little more? Yes. Should he be saying that? I mean,
it's going to be even more annoying when Drogba puts them out of the Champions League.
It's amazing how much Mourinho's criticising his players, isn't it? It's like he's
absolutely.
Come in this season and he's viewing them almost like the Swindon lot, you know? It's like, not how he left it, he doesn't like it.
Yeah, but do you think that he's maybe saying these kind of things so Mr. Abramovich hands him a big wad of cash?
Perhaps, or maybe it's just his way of motivating the players, you know? He doesn't take any nonsense, does
really?
He?
Or is it perhaps there's a little unsettled striker currently playing in Monaco at the moment?
They certainly do need a striker, and that would make sense, wouldn't it, that move? Yeah, absolutely. I thought credit to Palace. I mean, I don't want to patronise them because they got beat, and I'm sure Palace fans will say they got beat fair and square, but they went for it. They didn't look to frustrate
Chelsea. I'm lucky not to get something out of the game.
I agree.
But at the same time, Chelsea were very wasteful in front of goal, so the score could have been a lot higher.
True, but they're not the first side who are quite a bit further down the pecking order to Chelsea that have nearly got something, or even in terms of West Brom, have got something at Stamford Bridge. So Mourinho, with that, we talked about Man City making their stadium a fortress. Chelsea,
they're struggling to get wins, but
they're struggling to turn it into that, I suppose. Mm. But if you keep getting the wins, you keep getting the wins. David Moyes got one. Against Aston Villa, 3-0. That's what they needed.
Their record at Villa Park is incredible.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was it something like that game when Beckham scored his first for Manchester United? Is that the last time they beat Manchester United?
You know that in the league. Villa have got a bad record against a team when there's a Sky Sports feature about the last time they beat them and they get all the old players back. that's a worrying sign. Yeah,
it's so impressive. They're willing to pay a little bit of money for taxi fares.
Yeah.
Is that Sean Teal?
Yeah. I was watching it thinking this should be on BBC4. Historical documentary.
Yeah, exactly. About 1 o'clock in the morning on Friday night.
But United, I don't really think Villa turned up, to be honest. I thought that
did that actually happen? And they were just awarded a 3-0.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been. Might as well have been.
You have not done your research this week, have you?
I'll tell you what, Jim. We could all just done that and not bothered.
Yeah.
And gone for a nice walk or something.
Yeah. And the Premier League went, who should we give the goals? Give Welbeck a couple of. Well, Cleverley needs one. So
I just don't understand Villa's tactics. If it were me, I mean, Lambert, he said it before the game as well. We're going to be good to get on the front foot early. Not for me. Listen, United are under huge pressure. David Moyes needs a win.
Yeah.
Sit there. You've got great pace on the counter-attack. Yeah. You've got players like Abanlahor, who's proven he can hurt teams, good teams as well.
Mm.
Arguably, on his day, Abanlahor's one of the best counter-attacking players in the league with his pace. If he fancies it, just sit there. If it gets to 0-0 after 60 minutes, you're telling me Moyes isn't going to be under huge pressure to do something?
Yeah.
They set up all wrong. They were beaten before the game even started.
What has happened to Benteke?
Yeah, he won't.
Yeah,
he's
not scored
plot,
a goal
in
September, is he?
It's a World Cup, yeah.
I know,
yeah.
And they've got some talented players. You're absolutely right. I mean, Agbonlahor is such a funny player, isn't he? He can be great. I mean, we go back all the way to the first day of the season, and the two sides on that day have very differing fortunes from that fixture. I mean, Villa weren't terrible. Of course, they beat Manchester City. But you're right. I mean, another 3-0.
I know Villa had Delph missing. He's a good player for them. They had a few players missing. Delph's starting to come of age, and I understand that.
Another home loss where you haven't scored
It's just it's only going one way there.
Do you understand what I'm saying? When you, when you
completely, I absolutely agree with you.
You go out on the front foot. You try and match them play for play, which you can't do because for all their problems, they're still a good, team.
Oh yeah,
and you give them just goals. You, just, you give them a chance to go. Do you know what? Well, we're going to go. It's like when they're a boxing match. You know, do you play to your strengths? Yeah. Do you keep an arm's length behind your jab and move, or do you go into a take them into deep water in the trenches and go bang for bang against a massive flat-footed banging boxer? You wouldn't do that. So why are you doing it that way? I understand when teams, like I said earlier, sort of sense an opportunity against United, but it's set up completely wrong in my, my opinion.
But what Manchester United, though, it's good to see Welbeck getting a couple of goals and getting some strikers' goals as well, Jim.
Yeah, they were, weren't they?
Which is very unlucky not to score a lovely little chip into an empty net as well.
Yeah.
It would have been nice.
I know. I think Welbeck, when he plays with confidence, really does look great at times. And Cleverley got one as well, Pete. He needed that, as you say. Yeah, he's been criticised a bit. I know he's not there primarily to score goals, but still, it's the kind of thing that can get one's confidence up, would you say?
Well, I mean, I think everyone's kind of blaming the manager for playing him where he plays him, I suppose, to that extent.
Yeah, but I mean, who else have they got, though, to fill the gap? I mean, it was good to see Fletcher come back for, what did he get, 20 minutes or something like that? And I think he's the type of player, actually, they could really do, because they've put Phil Jones in there, as we've mentioned before, to try and break up the opposition's play. But Jones, you want
a hell of a lot of Fletcher, though, to come in and immediately, you know, solve that problem.
Of course, but he's still got 20 minutes in a game. OK, they were up 3-0, but that's very encouraging for Manchester United.
I thought Phil Jones had a good game at centre-back. I mean, he didn't have an awful lot to do.
But you want Jones more at centre-back than centre-mid, do you not?
I think that I think he could be an excellent centre-back, and I think if you put him in a midfield position, he's just there to do one thing, and that's to destroy things.
Exactly.
And he can do a good job on that. I mean, he may be required, we don't know how it'll pan out, but he may be required to do a job on someone like Pirlo in the World Cup next summer.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a good, potentially, on his day, would
well, maybe not
good,
Pirlo. But
well, you know, I some sort of
Montolivo, perhaps.
Yeah, some sort of attacking player against them in the World Cup. But
yeah, but if Manchester United can get Carrick back, I think he's still injured, and get Fletcher back. You know, with Carrick and Fletcher in the centre,
much better proposition.
Much better. Yeah. Mm.
If you've got Carrick and Fletcher and Fellaini and they're all vying for position, there's no reason Fellaini can't improve. I mean, you look at Clever and you think, you know, what are you offering? What do you do here? What, I mean, you know, I think that's his first goal or assist this season or something, isn't it?
Mm.
It's not ideal.
Not ideal. What is ideal is winning 5-0 away from home.
Yeah. You literally couldn't ask for more.
My giddy on the Sky Sports match, the pundits, Carragher, Gerrard, Souness. I mean, it was just that whole day was set up for Liverpool, wasn't it?
It really was. Incredible. Made me feel a lot better, I've got to be honest.
Yeah.
In a way, I love Spurs sometimes.
It got to the point, Jim, today in my office where the Spurs fans celebrated, actively celebrated Arsenal's draw in the Champions League.
you've got to give
and
him
one of them
one.
Did look at me and say, as if to say, it's all we've got. It's all we've got at the moment.
Well, my goodness. Before we talk about the game, AVB has been sacked.
Yes.
Is this a surprise?
What I want to know is he going to find that guy from the Europa League who he got thrown out for singing "You're Getting Sacked" in the morning? They say, all right, you know, he won't completely accurate with the timing.
Wrong morning.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. Wrong morning. So the joke's still on you. Just wanted to say that.
I don't know. He's.
It's a strange one. I feel for AVB. I think it was the wrong decision for Tottenham to sack him. Yes, they're having a sort of poor run of results, but there's so many new players in there. And I just think you can't give him such a small amount of time. I know they've had some embarrassing hammerings, but like, he's a better manager than that.
Well, Daniel Levy, as we know, is a man who likes to stamp his authority over things. And Redknapp, obviously, you know, Redknapp did a good job at Spurs.
He isn't stamping his authority down things. He looked weak. He looks like he isn't. Leaving now looks like he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah, but what I was going to say is that, you know, Redknapp did a good job at Spurs. I know we've criticised him one thing or another before, but he, you know, he did pretty well there. But it was when Redknapp, he was making kissy faces at the England national team, of course, and he said a few things about the goings on at the club, and Levy does not like that.
Mm.
And okay, AV, I don't think this is the sole reason why Villas-Boas has gone, but when Villas-Boas said in the press conference after the game, well, we've made a lot of signings and, well, and he said something about, well, I can't say it in public, and he just gave you a little indication that, well, I didn't want some of these signings.
Right.
And I think...
But I think that was probably sort of pretty well known, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, but I think the fact...
The players he wanted weren't...
If there was ever a 50-50 whether he was going to stay or go, I just think that probably would have pushed Levy over the edge. The conspiracy theorist in me says, hang on a minute here. Baldini made those signings. Capello was at White Hart Lane, reportedly, on the weekend.
Yeah, he was.
Is there a coup going?
Well, he's apparently the favourite, isn't he, with the bookies, for probably that exact reason, I would think. But is he going to do that just ahead of, you know, a World Cup?
No. Why would you?
He's in charge of
look
Russia.
At this, look at this from a top manager's point of view, right? People are talking about Capello. People talk about De Boer, who may or may not be available.
Well, De Boer
people talk about these top managers. But when you look at a chairman like Levy, what do you see? Right? For me, I would see a chairman that's gone through about 9 managers or whatever it is. Several managers in 10 years, or 6 or 7 managers in 10 or 11 years, whatever it is. I don't know what the complete stats are, but you take the point. You can say, David Pleat was a caretaker manager, but he was there for ages at one point. So he's gone through his fair share of managers. Yeah. And then you see a chairman who also doesn't really back his managers in the transfer market. I mean, the only reason they spent a lot of money this time around is because of the Bale thing. He's not really outlaid money.
It did almost seem like it was just burning a hole in his pocket, didn't it?
Indeed, why would you go there?
He spent too much money.
Why would you go there? That's the answer. And I think it comes to a point when if you're going through that many managers in that quick amount of time, you know, you could say, for example, the one day Ramos didn't work out, Jacques Santier didn't work out. And those managers take their own share of responsibility for that. But so does the person that appointed them. Mm-hmm. If you've not researched it properly, if you hire someone to do a job and in 6 months or 9 months or 18 months, he isn't the right man for the job still, it's your fault. You know, if you hire someone to do a job and in 10 years' time he isn't the right man for a job, then fair enough. Or 5 years' time, because that's a decent period of time. He's probably done a good job for that amount, and times change. We all understand that. But the time frames are so small that it says to me that Levy is incompetent. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, Levy clearly wants a title challenge.
But Marcus,
inside.
What does he want, though? It's important. What does he actually want?
With regards to style, I think he wants a fluid attacking style, as all big guys at football clubs want. And they've got to realise that it's not all suddenly going to click. And they were getting results early on. They weren't conceding, they weren't scoring very much, but they were getting results, and they're not having a terrible season. But I think perhaps Levy thinks, well, I've spent all this money, we've got all these fabulous players in, why is this not happening? And
go on, Pete.
No, do you think that Levy's kind of spoilt by having such a shrewd and popular PR man at the helm that they had with Harry? Because, I mean, if you're supposed, he was never really that comfortable with the press. He chuck his things. Soldado scored like a hat trick in midweek or whatever in the Europa League, and they basically said, "Is he going to start the next match?" He goes, "No, probably not." And it's like, well, you're not really supporting your player there. He's just got 3 goals. Yeah. It just seems to me he's not that great at kind of the famous man management that Harry Redknapp thing. He falls out with the press a little bit, AVB. And also, he sounds like a Dalek. So
he does sound like a Dalek. That's fair. Like a croaky Dalek. But if you look at Spurs' season, they got hammered by Liverpool. But they did have a man sent off. And OK, there's no excuse for collapsing like that. But they're still in the Capital One Cup. They're still in the FA Cup. They breathe through the Europa League group.
And one day Ramos will be back because they've got Dnipro.
It's not as if it's an sort of unmitigated disaster.
No, the criticisms of him, Mark, would be that they haven't played a game in the FA Cup yet, Jim, to be fair. the Europa League was a poor quality of opposition. I mean, so I understand you can only beat what's put in front of you. I won't criticise him for that. He's too stubborn. He's not pragmatic enough, and he was much more flexible tactically last season.
He sounds like a very difficult character. Yeah, he's kicking off over cabs.
Can't even say it.
Where do you want to go?
This season, he's sort of stubbornly stuck to one up front, despite not working. And I don't think, I mean, I suppose one of the questions in a way is, if they lost to Man City 2-0 and Liverpool 1-0, would he still be the job? Probably. He probably would be, because they did okay against Sunderland. They won. They had a good point against United. But what he did against Liverpool was really curious. It was almost like when they lost heavily to City, you were wondered about the players, because, as we said at the time, you lose 2-0, there's a vast difference between losing to 2-0 and losing 6-0. There's no real excuse at that level to lose by that amount of goals, right? Mm. Now, against Liverpool, it was a really strange situation, because he seemed to sort of learn his lesson for the United game straight after that massive defeat. And they actually played with nice intensity, nice tempo, got a 2-2 draw, which is no disgrace against United, who are still a good team. But against Liverpool, he seemed to think, well, OK, I've got a makeshift back four here, because a load of my defenders are out. I've got Kapu, Dawson, I've got Carl Norton playing out of position at left back. I've got Carl Walker, OK, he's a good player. And I'm still going to play as high line.
Well, yeah, yeah. Play I'm complicated.
I'm going to play centre-backs with a high line, one of which isn't a centre-back, the other one is one of the slowest defenders in the league, against probably the world's best striker.
Yeah.
Who gets in behind any... he'll get in behind any defender.
That's right.
You watch him in the summer, he'll get behind England, no problem. And that's, to me, seems like a real symbol of tactical inflexibility. Why not change it? If you can't change it, then you're not a good enough manager at the top level, because you need to be pragmatic when it calls for it.
It's strange, because he is a good tactician. Like, we've seen him, you know, last season, he did some great stuff with Spurs. But it does seem odd that he has sudden... these sort of stubborn streaks, and I think maybe that touches on what Pete talks about, his personality. He's still a young guy. I think it's almost, we've seen it with Wenger before.
There are a number of reasons in addition to that. One of the things, is it Arsene Wenger who said you should never sign more than three players in the transfer window?
I'd say it's a safe bet.
And Spurs, and Spurs, I'm going to attribute it to him because it fits.
Did he say three players or any players?
But Spurs signed a whole raft of them, and a lot of them who'd never played in the Premier. Well, I think all of them had never played in the Premier before. So
I don't think any of them have. It's mad to expect that to work.
I think Villas-Boas, we saw it at Chelsea as well, that he is very much... It's not even a gang mentality like Mourinho tries to create. It's almost like it's me versus everybody, including players
included,
sometimes.
Yeah.
And he does that with the media, and the media are a little bit harsh on him at times.
Some of the media stuff's been completely unfair, by the way.
It's been very unfair.
I'd like to have seen him stay in the job, I suppose.
I would have liked to have seen him stay in the job as well, but he's gone, and he... sadly, we'll need to roll with the punches.
Well, do you think it might be quite useful for him to like go to a world class club as a number two, maybe, and just kind
just
of
go
just spend
Porto,
a couple?
That takes him straight away.
I thought you were going to say Portsmouth. I was like,
he's never been. He's never done a full second season at a club, has he? He's
like, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Where does he go from now, though? I mean, it's not as simple as walking back into Porto, is it?
I don't think he'd struggle.
He's been linked with West Brom.
Imagine that, straight back in.
Straight back in.
In a way, would that be that bad? He's got experience of English football. He's got massive expectations.
They could do a lot worse. Yeah. But who would you think? I mean, Michael Laudrup's been talking. Jurgen Klinsmann. Glenn Hoddle's been touted very much.
That
happens every time, though, doesn't it? Every time.
But only with Spurs.
Yeah. I really hope it happens.
Can you imagine Jurgen Klinsmann running away from what he's got to face in the summer? Playing Germany.
Germany, Qatar, and Portugal.
I think Klinsmann will want to stay for the World Cup. I think there's a chance he could go after
Hoddle interim.
Nah, I think Sherwood will. I mean, Sherwood will get given it, won't he?
Sherwood for the rest of the season?
Well, I think
it's not impossible.
If they've got someone lined up after the World Cup, because the lay of the land will be completely different at the end of the World Cup. There'll be some really, really good managers possibly out of jobs.
I would be over the moon as a Spurs fan with Laudrup personally.
Hiddink interim. That's what he does.
I think Hiddink's lined up for Holland after the World Cup, isn't he?
Yeah, after the World Cup.
Okay, right. Yeah, fair enough.
He loves an interim. Fair enough. You know what it's like.
What about an Emmanuel Adebayor player manager situation?
Sol Campbell.
Wow. And if he did play a manager, they're still on the plane.
I think that Laudrup...
Talk about lack of pace at the back. Suarez isn't getting behind him.
No way. No. Not getting around him. I think that Laudrup will be a perfect man for a job, purely because I think that he's sort of out of his stripes in English football, delivered a trophy.
Mm-hmm. In the style Spurs won.
In style. He's also got the playing career to really inspire those players. Yeah. I mean, if there's one thing that I'm not suggesting it is a problem, but if it was a factor, Laudrup's not going to have any problem. I'm one of the best players of all time.
Yeah,
you know, I'm probably the best player of the '90s. Well, certainly one of. So that's not going to be a problem.
I think it fits. Yeah, unless you are Jose Mourinho, I think that might be a consideration. Actually, and if Villas-Boas, you know, at Chelsea, he tried to go in there and really. Make them know he was boss because they managed themselves previously for a number of 10 years there. So if he is going in with young guys who are only a few years younger than him, and he's saying, right, and they think, well, you've never played the game, mate. Now, whether that's right or wrong, but...
I think it is wrong, but I think it probably is a factor.
Yes, I think so.
I think we may have discussed this before, but do clubs have to have a manager? Why don't they just see how it goes?
Well, that's what Di Matteo did at Chelsea.
Is that Abramovich? Is that Abramovich's diary?
Yeah, that's no. But Di Matteo and old Uncle Avram Grant. They say that Chelsea, I mean, especially under Di Matteo, he pretty much said, "Look, you guys, you don't need me to manage you, but I'll motivate you and I'll do
the press."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's a good point.
Well,
Jim.
You've got big personalities and experienced players like Terry, Lampard, Drogba, who all of which are probably bell ends.
They're
not necessarily going to need, are they? They're not going to need it.
Sorry, who did you say there?
Lampard.
Yeah, he's all right.
Drogba.
I've never been to Drogba's hospital. It might be rubbish.
Can I just say, Liverpool fans are a sensitive bunch, and they won well at the weekend. And we've not talked about it.
Well, I was going to move on to them. Don't you worry about that. They were magnificent.
They really were.
And Jordan Henderson was as well. And I'm really pleased because I like Jordan Henderson, and I thought that. He's been harshly treated by a lot of fans, especially from opposition clubs, because of that big price tag. I mean, he went there for, was it 18 million or something like that? I mean, he should never have gone. If he went for 9, 10 million, people wouldn't be talking about this. You know, he's a lad who's played a few times for England. I mean, he came on against France in the Euros and looked very happy in that side. And he's played well for Liverpool, and he's got in there, and he's playing in a more attacking position because you think of him more as playing in front of the defence, and his runs in behind.
Well, when Gerrard's not there, he can just do more.
Exactly.
He can do more.
His runs in behind that Spurs back four.
Which, to be fair, was easily done.
Well, it was all three today, but he was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and rightfully was man of the match. Scored as well.
It's a thing in American sports called the Ewing theory, where around an NBA star, Patrick Ewing.
Patrick Ewing, yeah.
Which says that inexplicably, when a team loses their star player, they start to play better.
Yes.
And I think it's to do with when the Knicks went to, I think it's against the Pacers. My basketball knowledge is terrible, but in the playoffs, and Ewing was ruled out, and they actually went on them about four or five games in a row or something. Mm. And so you wonder if that's the case with Gerrard. Now, I've seen a couple of Liverpool fans, I'm not saying this is indicative of all Liverpool fans, but I've certainly seen a few say that at some point, obviously, there's a transition where Gerrard needs to move on, and they would like to have seen Lucas and Henderson in there with one other, perhaps. Obviously, it was Allen against Spurs. And it just means that Henderson's got freedom to do a lot more. And in fairness, Marcus, something you didn't mention about Henderson for last season was he was played out on the right quite a lot, out of position, and he wasn't given a chance. So that was also a factor as well, not just the price tag, the fact that he wasn't able to do what he does best. Mm. And I think he can only grow as a player. And I really enjoyed watching him play against Spurs. I thought he was excellent. And actually, if you're thinking about Spurs having a terrible time of it, they still had a very physical midfield, and they got bullied by Liverpool. Mm.
Well, lots of people on Twitter were saying, oh, look at the Spurs midfield and the Liverpool midfield. Yeah. But actually, the Liverpool midfield completely bossed the game.
Absolutely.
And Henderson...
Sterling gave Norton a torrid
didn't
time.
He just? Yeah. I mean, Henderson... You know, if he continues like this, obviously it would be difficult when Gerrard comes back, and obviously when Sturridge does as well, he could find himself on the plane. I mean, if Cleverley, he's doing better than Cleverley.
Cleverley wouldn't be anywhere near that England squad if he wasn't in the United team. It wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't happen.
Well, Luis Suarez got the game going with a lovely one, didn't he?
He'll do that.
Jinky?
Oh, he's just
a joy to watch at the moment.
What about Flanagan's goal?
Oh, God, the joy on his face. That was beautiful.
What a finish. What a finish. Yeah. What was it? When Spurs went down to 10 men, it was one of those games where they looked comfortable and you thought, oh, you know, 2-0, they could go on and maybe win this 3-0 or hold on, a very good win. When it went down to 10 men, it was one of those ones, hang on a minute, boys, we could have a real memorable result.
They could have scored 7.
Little Paul's gone off.
Little Paul's gone. Rapping careers.
Suarez's goal for the fourth was just glorious.
Flanagan's when, in slow motion, when the ball flies off the crossbar and the raindrops come down, that is football. That is what football is. If someone said to me, what's football? I'd show them that.
Yeah.
It's a very, very terrible defending, but a very satisfying stroke of the ball.
On the half volley as well. Mm. Not easy to do that.
Yeah. He couldn't believe it, could he? It was just,
It was like, did you see Harry Kewell's penalty at the weekend?
Oh my God.
He managed to hit it into the ground and balloon it over the bar.
No, it was wide.
It was wide, yeah. Wide and high. Curious. It was like hitting that.
It was the polar opposite to that.
He's making fun of ex-Liverpool players now.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Just to balance it out.
Look what you're missing out on.
I'll miss the emails.
Is it Jan Mulby?
We've got to move on, though. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. God damn it.
Oh, my goodness. Cardiff beat West Brom 1-0. That's the end of Steve Clarke at West
Brom.
Yeah,
that's another one.
No one's going to remember him now because of AVB, are they?
That's a shame for West Brom, actually, because,
I think, results aren't always going to be absolutely amazing.
They won at Old Trafford, they drew at home of Arsenal this season. They're unlucky not to get a win at Stamford Bridge. I know that they are only 2 points above the relegation zone.
And I know it's kicking. I know you want to kick on and stuff, but he gets fired. You know, they finished eighth last season. Yeah. AVB gets fired with the highest Spurs points ratio since the 1800s, doesn't it? It's just a bit mad, isn't it?
I think Clark, have West Brom won one in their last 10 or none? Possibly one, I think. Oh, they beat Palace, didn't they? So definitely one. The momentum thing is bigger, isn't it? I mean,
is that too much? That's too much these days.
Is that throwing out the baby with the bathwater?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, didn't they famously not finish, I don't think they spent a single minute outside the top 10 last season.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a turnaround given running 16 games.
But this whole momentum thing, is that what football's going to become then?
Yeah.
If you've always got to be
temps.
Yeah,
that sort of thing has to be reflected in the manager's contract. You know, you can't just keep the model of football at the moment is you spend roughly 2 to 3 million quid every single season paying off your manager. It just seems unworkable to me.
Yeah.
Well, you say that they're old temps, but they are temps. I mean, the ones that aren't temps are exceptions.
Well, but I mean, like in an actual official sense, is that where it's going to go? Because Pete makes a good point. If it costs you 3 million quid every time you mistake, and you make a mistake in who you appoint, and you're changing it up every single year, you're going to sort of
not just think how much money Arsenal have saved every season for the last 16 or whatever.
Well, West Brom aren't actually that bad at sacking managers, generally, are they? Yeah. I think that. Again, it's difficult to comment on it because you have to frame it in the context of who they get in to replace him, and if they bring in. If they bring in a manager of some repute, then it may well be better for them. Because people were saying this when Southampton sat Nigel Adkins. They're not saying it now.
Absolutely.
So it does happen in a positive way sometimes as well.
Mm, that is true.
But I don't think it's harsh on him. I think he won't be remembered because AVB's been fired. You know, there'll be no sort of sympathy for him. The game will move on. I mean, he may get another job because I think he's done all right. Mm. But I've seen a few people suggest that he's maybe inherited quite a good squad from Hodgson. And and he's run out of ideas. But I don't know if that's true. I don't know enough about it.
Yeah. Elsewhere in the league, one of the new managers, Martinez, is doing wonderful things with
Everton.
Tearing
up trees.
We spoke about them last week. We spoke about them again this week.
They were magnificent.
They beat Fulham 4-1. Looked very impressive. They've only been beaten by Manchester City, and that was away, this season. They're 4 points off the top. They've played Man City, Man United and Arsenal away, Liverpool, Chelsea at home.
Yeah.
I tell you, they've got a lot.
That is massive.
Yeah.
Because
and they're right up there.
It's the first time that I can think of for a very long time you could legitimately say a dark horse is for the title.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be extraordinary?
It would be absolutely incredible, wouldn't it?
They're spinning gold I just don't know where this is coming from. How can you make some, a couple of fairly average players play like that?
But did they not always just look a striker away from a good team, though?
Yeah, they did.
Lukaku's been a revelation for them. Mm. And they do have some depth in that squad.
But people are saying that did Moyes hold them back for so many years? Is that disrespectful or is that a point?
I mean, I think it is disrespectful.
Yeah. What I'm pleased about Martinez is a lot of people said I think we may have suggested it because it was up there for suggesting. Is he one of the most overrated managers in the league? Because Wigan were constantly just.
I have my doubts, I have to say.
But actually, you look at it and think, well, they probably were just surviving because of him.
Yeah. The big factor for how good a manager Martinez is how quickly those players took on a completely new style.
Absolutely.
And he obviously communicated to them very effectively. And they will get injuries and suspensions the second half of the season. But I was looking at their injury list actually just a second ago, and De La Foy is already injured.
Yeah.
Baines is out. Kone, who's a good squad player, he's out.
Yeah. Kone's out for the season as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oviedo's been brilliant, though. He's been an absolute revelation in place of Baines.
Darren Gibson, who's a big signer for them, he's a United player. He's out as well with an ACL. So they've had all their injury problems so far already.
But they are stark contrast to Spurs in the sense that every one of those Everton players look like they know what they're doing. Mm. And so when you get an injury and someone else slots in, they know what to do. And it's obviously very difficult to get that. But Spurs,
when you don't know the bloke you're lining up next to,
they know that the kind of they're getting a style as well of playing.
They also haven't got in their locker what other big teams seem to have, which is slipping up and losing against silly teams. They beat Hull. They went away and beat Villa. They beat Stoke fairly handily. Mm-hmm. They've beaten Fulham easily. They're actually in such a rich vein of form. And like you say, the amount of games they've already played, which are tough, is really encouraging.
And the next time they play one of the so-called big sides will be in 7 matches' time away to Liverpool.
They could be top of the league.
Imagine
then.
If they win the next 6.
They could be top of the league then.
It's extraordinary. Mm. It really is.
And they're not afraid to play people like Ross Barkley and it's about to put these sort of players in early.
And Osman is having some great years in his. What is he? 31.
Yeah.
Since he's got in his 30s, he obviously got an England call up back in.
I think he's been a good player for them. He's such a good servant for them over the years.
Yeah, Martinez says he should have an England call up. Is he trying to protect Barkley? Maybe. No, not that one. Should Gareth Barry be brought back into the England setup?
No.
Do you know what?
No, I don't think so. Too far back.
It's a fair question, is it not?
It's just he's good at his job, but his time's gone now.
Plays well in a system. England will have a system, as far as.
I loved his goal, though. Just kind of bounced off his face on the touchline.
Yeah.
Just punched the air.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Must be about 30 yards out.
Well, absolutely. So there's your Premier League roundup. Briefly to the Championship, Leicester 1, Burnley 1. That was a big one.
That
Burnley,
was a great game, that.
Burnley dropping points. Leicester 3 points off the top there in third. Redknapp's men go top.
Burnley, one loss in 16 games.
Yeah.
Blackpool, that's promotion
Danny
for me.
Danny Ings scored again.
Yeah.
As far as I know, Blackpool got through a game without having a man sent off, so improvement.
That's good. I mean, they still didn't score. But,
Well, but one step at a time, mate.
Yes, yeah, true.
Leicester's next match is Man City, obviously, in the Capital One Cup, and then QPR. That's a confidence boost heading into Christmas, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Hooray!
Well, Redknapp and QPR, they are top. But Derby won again.
They did. I think they're one of the form teams in Europe at the moment.
McLaren's men.
I am loving Derby's Boca Juniors River Plate hybrid away kit.
Well, they're 5 points off the top themselves.
Sixth league win in a row.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Big news from the Championship is Zola.
Zola's resigned as Watford manager, yeah?
Yeah, they haven't won for a while.
Juve Rosa is the new Wigan manager. Mm. Wigan are 14th, 8 points off the playoff. So,
God, we did say about sort of managerial temps recently, but this is like we're just doing the HR news, isn't it? Yeah. Those times are already here. Yeah. We're gonna have to do it every week.
We're just announcing court appearances for everyone, just arguing with their employers.
Road improvements.
Clark to Watford.
Yeah,
yeah,
could be. I think it's a classy move from Zola. He said that he can't seem to get it back.
Be bothered anymore?
And he resigned. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Actually, a little bit of info. My first job in media was at the Chelsea FC TV studio, and it was when Ranieri was manager under Bates, and Gianfranco Zola always seemed a very, very nice man.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Don't doubt that. Bates?
No, not so much. No.
I heard Bates has...
Nah, he's a prick.
Yeah, no, I've heard that very much so. But I heard that... does he have... I don't think it's his wife. It's some old elderly woman who's like his sort of PR woman or whatever, follows him around and just basically walks. I might have been friend of the show. Murray told me this. It's something that he would say, but it was whoever it was. And so basically walks around and Ken Bates leaves his trail of destruction, and she just walks behind him, going, "Don't you know that's Ken Bates? That's Ken Bates, that is."
Oh God!
There's some
Lynn.
I don't know who. Yeah.
When I was there, I used to. everyone used to have to call him Mr. Chairman.
I remember you telling me this.
Yeah. And he used to have, I think I'm right in saying, in the entrance, in the lead up to his office.
Mr. Chairman. So, nobody missed that chairman.
And certainly the lead up to, anyway, some particular point of quite big distinction within Stamford Bridge, anyway. Yeah. I remember they had a massive scale model of the Roman Empire.
Oh my God.
And it had like a saying, the Romans didn't get where they got by committee, they got there by destroying everyone in their way, or something like that.
It's ironic, isn't it? Yeah. What happened next?
Yeah, indeed.
It goes with what I've been told.
Well, there you go. Yeah. He's quite litigious, though, isn't he, Ken Bates? So you might want to cut that out, Pete.
Yeah. I'm not cutting anything out.
If you're listening, sorry about that, Ken.
Yeah,
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Mr. Ken. League 2.
Mr. Smurf.
Mr. Defendant.
League 2. Oxford still on top, 37 points, but it remains very tight there. Only 5 points separating first and ninth.
Yeah, we're talking about the managerial merry-go-round. Chris Wylie's out of contract in the summer.
Oh.
So he could be going somewhere.
Get involved.
Lot of jobs available.
Well, people are after Justin Edinburgh. Of Newport County. Newport, they're fourth, 3 points behind the league leaders. This is their first season in the big leagues for a while. They were in the Conference National League before this season. And Justin Edinburgh went in there. He plays with a back three. Mm. And when he took over, they were down the bottom of the Conference National League. They survived relegation, and he got them promoted the next year. And then they could go up again the way they're playing. One of my housemates is a big Newport County fan. This is why I know this. And he went down to Portsmouth, and there was all the... They were chanting Saints and all that kind
Fuck
of
off!
Stuff. But... Justin Edinburgh, according to his Wikipedia, and we know that can be a little bit dodgy, apparently he owns 2 Tony and Guy hair salons.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right, there you go.
Yeah. Can I just end this little segment by saying Portsmouth are the worst professional team in Britain? And then can we just all move on?
Yeah.
Champions League.
Champions. No, they're not Champions League.
No?
No.
Yeah, maybe one day.
But Portsmouth are a team who couldn't physically be further away from the Champions League as a professional outfit if they tried. Uh-huh.
Well, we're going now to the Champions League. We talked about Arsenal, Bayern, Jim. Well, you've got to beat the best if you want to win the competition.
Yeah, but there's truth in that, isn't there? And we're a better team than we were last season, and we gave them a scare when it was irrelevant.
yeah.
As we
don't remember that, I reckon.
Every time we've played them, that's been the case.
I think they would remember it, though.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're going to take it lightly, but, you know, win.
Just win.
Yeah. If any of you are listening, just win.
Rome wasn't built.
Jim, would you take being knocked out of the Champions League to have a serious tilt at the title? You would, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
You could
do a favour. You could be done a favour by getting hammered by Bayern.
I'll try and remember that if it happens. Notice I'm saying if.
Yeah.
This newfound positivity amongst Arsenal fans, eh?
It's lovely, isn't it? Galatasaray v Chelsea.
That's a funny set of circumstances leading to that, isn't it?
Wesley Sneijder will be back at the Bridge because he played very well.
I wouldn't say he played very well. That was a ridiculous game, wasn't it? The rescheduled one. The pitch
against Juventus.
Yeah, the pitch was dreadful. He sort of flitted in and out. He took his goal well. Had a massive pile on the snow, which I liked.
They only played, was it, the last 58 minutes of that game against Juventus?
They did like 10 minutes, then they went to half time. It's really weird to watch because I'd sort of forgotten it was happening.
They sort of ruin the pitch? Wasn't there rumours that there was a big track? There's a big picture of a tractor over one side of the pitch where Juve were going to be attacking.
Just travel it out of the stadium.
Yeah. It was covered in snow, and they had to get the snow off pretty quick.
Yeah.
And they just decimated the pitch. And then it snowed anyway.
But only on one side, though, it seemed.
I saw a photo of that.
Yeah. But the pitch was so bad anyway.
The track was doing donuts in the penalty area.
It was really strange last season when England played away in Poland, and the World Cup qualifier was, of course, called off, and it was like, blimey, what are we going to do? We have to play it tomorrow night. In the Champions League, it was so weird. It's never happened before, I don't think. Maybe once, but not such a crucial one as well. Very strange to see them play the next day in the afternoon, and that would have had an effect on Juve.
The Juventus are now favourites for the Europa League. It's just a joke. Those teams, the third place teams from the Champions League, go into the Europa League and they're unseeded.
Do you know what Swansea are thinking? They're thinking, oh yeah, we got through to Napoli.
Yeah,
cheers.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah.
We've spoken about this at length, and I don't think they're going to change it anytime soon, but it's a disgrace, isn't it? Yeah, just stop it.
Yeah, you're out of Europe. You don't get to go in that one. Honestly. The Spurs last season got Leon, didn't they?
Yeah.
They went through and got Leon.
The Champions League teams probably don't even want it.
No.
You know, nobody wants to be in that cup competition.
I'm not saying I'm a football expert or anything, but I do like football.
Yeah.
And when I saw the draw for the first group stage for the Europa League, there were seriously about six teams I'd never even heard of in it.
Mm.
I've never heard of them, let alone know anything about them. So it's an absolute scandalous competition.
Maybe they've been rebranded like Hull Tigers.
Yeah, possibly.
They're called something else.
Oh, that's Milan.
They used to be Galatasaray.
Sorry, yeah. The red and black, what?
The Laughing Cow Rovers, what?
Olympiacos have got Manchester United. They'll fancy that, will they not?
So will United, they'll be delighted with that.
Well, hey, could be the tie of the round. Metroglou and Saviola. Mm. Saviola, the Metroglou's evergreen.
In grateful.
The ever-lean Javier Saviola. Mm. I love watching the Champions League because it lets me know where Saviola's playing.
Yeah.
He's a Champions League bastard, isn't he? He always he goes wherever. It doesn't matter what league.
Yeah.
He has to go where.
Are you a Champions League club? I'm in.
That's it. Fair enough.
Just love the music.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Love that song.
Manchester City versus Barcelona.
Yeah.
Mm. That could go either way.
It could go either way.
I think that'll be a really, really tasty game at the Etihad. Really looking forward to that.
It's a good team, aren't they, Barcelona? But I think there's a sort of fear in their peak, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think that's fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a very high peak.
Neymar's hitting goal-scoring form, though.
Yeah.
Schalke versus Real Madrid. Milan versus Atletico Madrid. According to Jamie Redknapp...
That's a really interesting one.
According to Jamie Redknapp... Atletico Madrid, they're the one you want.
Yeah.
Now, I understand...
They almost went top at the weekend.
Yeah. I'm a goal away from it. I understand that... You know, they've not got the tradition and fear factor of, say, Real Madrid or Bayern Munich, but my goodness, they're playing extremely well. And to just, if he put it like that, but apparently Thierry Henry was sat next to him when he said it and just went...
Would Spurs fans fancy a bit of Simeone, would they?
Well, yeah, he's not going to go, though.
Yeah,
he could create possibly the greatest period in the club's history. I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
He's already won a fair bit with them.
Yeah. It's stressful, isn't it?
It's a bit stressful. Did you see him when Alessi scored? Was it their third goal of the game or second? They needed to win 3 or 4 nil. I forget what it was, and they scored, and they haven't been top. You know, Barcelona have been a record 54 weeks at the top now. And he was celebrating. And as he started celebrating, he started wagging the finger. One more,
yeah,
one more. And they all really.
But boss, it's only November. Yeah. December. It's just December. One more.
Yeah. That would be like winning the league for them. They've been. I mean, they
one
are...
more, or there'll be no fucking Christmas. All right.
Oh dear. Yeah. So they'll fancy that against Milan. I mean, Milan look very shoddy indeed, especially at the back. Zenit versus Borussia Dortmund. An interesting one. And Bayer Leverkusen against PSG. Sydney Sam against Latte.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not too shabby, not too shabby. We've got a little mention that Manchester City did win at Bayern. Has anybody missed that? Yeah, James Milner, man of the match.
We don't get to talk about Champions League very often because of the timings. Yeah,
but win. Strange situation with Pellegrini getting the math wrong. I wish he'd done that on Saturday.
4-2's enough.
Yeah. 4-2 doesn't sound as bad, does it?
No, not nearly.
No.
Well, we mentioned Real Madrid. Sergio Ramos got his 18th red card of his career on the weekend.
A lot of red.
Vinny Jones only got 13.
Really harsh on Ramos, to be fair. The guy kind of ran.
Redos.
Yeah. No, I thought I only saw the second yellow, and
Ram off.
That was a real Sergio Ramos bookie. He knew what he was doing. He's already on a yellow.
Yeah.
And I know it was probably the other player made a bit of a meal of it. But my God. I mean, the thing about Ramos is he's only 27.
Yeah.
He's probably got... I mean, the way he keeps himself in shape and the type of player he is, he's probably got at least six more seasons in the top level.
To be fair to Sergio Ramos, if you're a player of that calibre... The Christmas presents you've got to get your family and friends have got to be so good. You know, I'd want to get on, like, get off and start doing it early if I was him. You know?
Fair enough, yeah.
I think fair enough is get out of the game early. It's Real Madrid, you'll probably win. Go and get your mum something nice.
What I would say, adding to what Luke was saying, he's also been playing for Real Madrid. So it's not like he's playing for some team to get overrun and you have to make last-ditch decisions. And he's playing with Pepe in the side.
Yeah.
I saw a stat somewhere, I don't know if it's true, but it was from, I think, a reliable source. He's got 127 yellow cards in his career.
Wow. He's been playing,
so do research that.
He's been playing for Real Madrid for 8 years. Yeah. Right? I can legitimately make an argument that he could play for Real Madrid for another 8 years. Yeah. Right? So he could feasibly end his career with 40 red cards. Which is just unbelievable.
Sergio, you've been sent off.
Yeah.
Do we know who the most sent-off player ever is? How far
Sergio
Ramos.
Zidane, I think, got 14.
Did he? Okay.
I think he got 14.
I don't know. There's probably some hatchet merchant from the lower leagues in England.
Back in the time of Best.
Even so, though.
He's got an autobiography. He's called Naughty Paul.
They didn't have red cards back in the day, did they? So probably,
Because he's so young still, relatively, for someone with that many cards, he could go on to be the most sent-off player ever.
Could be the one. Staying with Real Madrid briefly, Cristiano Ronaldo opened his own museum in his hometown where he's from. What do you think about that?
I know that he does a lot of work for his hometown. It's on Madeira, isn't it? He's a bit of a sort of local champion, but I think this is unnecessary. That's what I've got to say.
I love the quote. Read the quote, Marcus.
I have room for more trophies. I don't really want to mention specific ones. So he probably didn't then. Yeah. He said he doesn't want to. No one's pushing him. Went on to say, all I want is to win more awards, and if the Ballon d'Or comes, there is extra room here.
I love it. Not trophies, awards.
Yeah.
I'm not my ego.
I'm not obsessed about the most prestigious individual award in football.
I think Messi's won, I think, 4 times.
The one that's been given away at 8:08 on January the 13th. Yeah. Yeah. Not particular ones.
Yeah. The one I can keep myself. The team trophies, they'll only be here for a week, and then I have to give it to Sergio Ramos or whoever.
Frank Ribery.
See, that's what they do. You get to take the cup home for a week.
I hope so, yeah. Frank Ribery's already said there's room on his mantelpiece as well, hasn't
he? Is that right?
They're all at it, yeah.
Well, so there should be. He earns a lot of money. He should have a big mantelpiece.
It should be massive.
Did you see Cristiano Ronaldo's at the Sports Personality of the Year? He did a video message for Ferguson.
Did he?
It's actually very sweet, yeah. It really endeared me to him.
Ah.
Because he kept saying the word message, like messagey. Right. So he kept going, Sir Alex, I thought I would send you this messagey.
Messy.
And it was very endearing.
Messy.
Yeah. Messy.
Yeah, and he cried and punched himself in the face.
and then
wet himself.
Absolutely. Before we go to Pete's game, we've got to mention the things that are happening in Romania.
Mm.
This is not a football story to begin with, but you'll see where we're going.
It will become one, won't it?
MPs in Romania are trying to decriminalise political corruption.
Which is...
staggering.
Come on.
In a way, I sort of respect that.
It's so brazen, isn't it?
Yeah.
It It's just...
I read this. Like, mayors and other local officials would no longer be held liable for conflicts of interest. 28 members of the Romanian parliament have been convicted or are currently on trial for corruption. 100 mayors and vice mayors on trial for awarding public contracts to family and friends or for similar abuses. Now, I'm not saying that Romania needs the World Cup, but FIFA's cock is hard.
That's a bit of me, that is. That's a step
galvanised titanium.
I love the conversation.
2026.
I love the conversation between the MPs. There's 28 of us on trial for this. Do you know what we should do? Clean up our act? Stop it being a crime.
Decriminalise crime.
Yeah.
It's words fail you, doesn't it?
Amazing, amazing turn of events, isn't it?
But anyway.
Because fuck you, that's why.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that leads us to suggest that Bacali could be out soon.
Good.
Yeah. Because if this law is passed, the jail doors will be open. Benefit.
Hasn't George Hardy said he'll give him a job?
Georgie, I mean, this is reason 457 while the ramble exists. Georgie Hagi, who is the Romanian club Constanta, he's the owner of that club, he's offered old Bacali a community service job when he moves to a nearby open prison. He's wholeheartedly welcome. Apart from his big mouth, he's a true false for good.
Yeah. He's good police.
So, yeah, but thanks to Michael Healy for pointing that out.
He'll
to
be
me.
FIFA president before we know it.
Yeah, indeed.
Let's do Pete's game.
Pete's game.
Pete's game. Right, thank you to Alessandro Amasanti for these clues. The title is all my work, though. Strike it, Ricky Lambert.
Cool.
Yeah, I can tell you. You wouldn't have to say it was your own work, but you just tell us the title.
Yeah, all right. I was born on December the 29th, 1978.
Oh, young. So 35.
Mm. Stop.
Oh, no, it's 34.
Stop. Nawank Wakanu.
I was and am a midfielder.
Stop.
Danny Murphy, he's older than that.
No, I've been transferred to clubs in three different countries, including Belgium.
Stop. Is it Ronnie Woolwork?
I love him.
No.
Stop. I'll have Luke Chadwick then.
No.
Okay.
I currently ply my trade in the Dutch 4th Division with RVV Hercules.
Ooh.
Excellent team, man. It's a Spanish team called that, weren't they? Hercules.
Hercules, yeah.
Despite signing for a Premier League club in 1997, my only first team appearance was as a substitute in a pre-season friendly at Birmingham.
It's not Brian Penis.
It's Brian Penis.
Yes! Yes! Thank you, Peter.
Yes. I don't even care that I didn't win because it's always welcome. Yeah, the mention is always welcome.
That beautiful. Is a true Christmas present.
Bloody beautiful. Happy Christmas, everybody. Do we have any correspondence?
Yes, we do. I've got a question of the week. It's something we touched on earlier. It's who would you like as the next Spurs manager?
Brian Penis!
And why? Brian Penis is not the correct answer. Who would you like to see as the next manager of Spurs and why? Chris Clark, who I think answers this question first every single week. I seem to remember his name popping up all the time. If he carries on this, he'll become a friend of the Ramble.
Mm.
He's like, I'd like it to be Daniel Levy, so he can try and sack himself when the going gets even slightly tough.
Nice. Yep.
What else have we got here? David Cowlishaw says, Harry Redknapp. It was a good idea the first time, and a good idea is a good idea forever.
Nice.
James Galbraith on the Facebook says, Eileen Drury, forget Hoddle, go straight to the boss.
Damn right.
Yeah, we're all on board with that.
Yeah.
Andrew P says on the Twitter, Ed Balls for the endlessly funny prospect of the hashtag balls out. That might be around your level. A couple more. Johnny Thompson, someone like Capello might bring Spurs success, but Andy Townsend would have them in and around success.
Yes.
Yeah, nice callback. What else have we got here? Alex Turner also wants to see Harry Redknapp. Oh, sorry, that was my cup. He would like to see Harry Redknapp because he says we all know that he didn't get a fair crack of the whip last time, despite his respectful silence on the matter. And we've got a couple of shouts for Chris Perry, Paolo Tramazzani, Clive Wilson, Rule Fox, Sergei Rebrov, and some for Steve Sedgley.
Yeah.
And it's at that point you think, gosh, Spurs have had some great 90s nostalgia footballers.
Indeed they have.
They're up there with Villa.
Yes, they have.
Marvellous stuff. Before we go, Pete.
We've actually got a bit of a giveaway thanks to Football Manager. Okay. They've provided us with a few copies of Football Manager Portable for the old Football Manager handheld for the old iPad or the iPhone and stuff. Basically, how we're going to give these away is I'm going to read out the codes.
Aha.
So, fastest fingers first, really, I suppose.
Oh, I like that!
And it's good that we're doing it at the end of the show so they don't switch off now.
Yes.
If you're on a train, tough shit.
Yeah, bad luck.
Right, are you ready?
Not our problem.
Oh, just so you know, before, if you're on a train, tough shit. And we've already got codes. So up yours.
So we don't care. Right, okay. There's a few of them, so hang fire. MRJY76K3346Y.
Go!
Right. There's another one. 7KNJFH6FWYAH.
Quick, go on.
KYHEFH4HP7E7.
Sorry about his accent.
Yeah, H, not H as well.
Shut up. TWFX6A46HRHE. Three more left.
H.
Shut up.
Naughty.
A7NXJLFEJM4W.
Good.
3KTWT4KK9M3M.
That's my favourite one.
Next
that.
One.
Yeah, that's my favourite one.
Final one.
Bloody good code, that.
Final one. F7 Pelra, P-E-L-R-A, 63HM3.
Beautiful.
There you go. Wow.
That's my favourite thing we've ever done on this show.
Sorry about the car accidents.
And this weekend in the Barclays Premier League, Absolute Radio is going to be bringing you Manchester City against Fulham at the Cottage. A potential banana skin, but I think we all know they're going to smash them.
Smashinho. We're off for a couple of weeks around Christmas.
Yay, Christmas.
Capital One Cup review show, though.
That'll be out.
That'll be out now.
Now, and the review show later this week. So back on, I think it's the 6th or 7th of Jan that week.
It's a couple of weeks off, isn't it?
So it is. We've deserved it.
Yeah.
And if we haven't, then we're going to take it. So up yours.
Yeah, and we've been doing this like 7 years, so fuck off.
For free.
Seriously, go fuck yourself.
Oh, say happy Christmas, Pete.
Happy Christmas.
Luke. HAPPYXMS.
And Jim.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Ah, see ya.
Bye.
Wouldn't want to be ya. Love ya.
This episode of The Ramble is supported by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers free domain names, customizable designs, drag-and-drop tools, as well as 24/7 support. Seamless e-commerce solutions mean that your business can be taking money in minutes on a website that is scaled to look beautiful on any device. Start your free trial today, no credit card required. As a Football Ramble podcast listener, you'll receive 10% off your first purchase by using the offer code RAMBLE11.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.